Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
And know the door.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio. Your host, Brother Alfred, and Carl Groovy.
Yeah. Once again, we are doing it again. We are here. We're trying to get into another deep one, another subject that we have not thought about, but you know what? You might need a little help with. So we are here live today, getting up. Me and Brother Koopy is in the house. Brother Koopy is always there. The reliable one, the on the shadow band, the monster behind the scene. The brother, the ultimate brother, man. All right, big brother. All right, man. Listen, man, we get into this. This is something that's coming along. We talked about the covert last week. Remember? And this week, I think what we're going to do is we're going to see about the effects of the covert, not just on the covert level, but we're going to go into the main subject, but we're going to segue from last week. Last week, we talked about health and, you know, wellness, okay? Covert is helping us. What kind of things we can use to try to make our lives a little better, right? So this week, we're going to talk about what's been hitting the news. It's not big news, but it's surprisingly increased since the COVID has happened. You know, just to let you know, I'm going through it. We all might be going through it, and some level, something that person, that partner that you love so much, that you said, I do, or I will be there for, is starting to not look like that same person no more. Because you're not in, you're in the house more together. You lock down. You're quarantining yourself, and you're dealing with all these other issues on a consistent basis. But I want to hear from the people as well. So I want you to all get ready. Hit me up. Hit me, Brother Koopy, up. If any questions about the show, any questions at all, please do not be afraid to tune in. Shine in. Get it on. Get with the information. And let us know your opinion. Because we are here to help you out and basically, give you the tools that you need so that you can have a better perspective and maybe help you have a better life. So call us, 516-418-5805. Or if you want to just listen to the show on playing, you can go on to Google Chrome, go log into the website at nsfatherhood.org/NSF radio stations, and you can go right to the website and you can listen to the broadcast live. All right? All right, so let's get into it a little bit more. All right, so there's certain tools that we can use, and we're going to start with the basics, okay? And Brother Koopy, I just want you to give a little history about love and go into that part of what romance and marriage, and we should be able to go into this at least a little bit more in depth, so that we can understand where we came from, the level of what love used to be, and how love is transmitted today. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So listen, I like I said to you, we have to look at these things and on a consistent basis as well. So here's how we're going to do this. Let's start with the past. So, Brother Koopy, what do you know about the history of love and marriage?
Well, when it comes to love and marriage, first and foremost, something that we have to automatically start to talk about that we don't talk about is what exactly is love and what exactly is marriage. And, you know, people have changed the definition. So before you can even get into a lot of this stuff, you're already stuck. Because what we now, what COVID really has exposed to us is that what we think love and marriage is really is not. We have learned to be separate. We've learned to live separate lives. We've learned to have separate bank accounts. We've learned to discard one another. We've learned to say, you know, well, you don't do as much as me, or, well, what about this? We've learned to withhold sex. We've learned to withhold money. We've done all these things, but love and marriage are different, right? So the further back you go into the story of mankind, I would say his story, but, you know, his story is not always our story or even the story. So if I'm dealing with his story, you know, they'll tell me marriage can be whatever. Marriage, you know, even legally, marriage in some states can be between a man and an animal. You know, the sanctity of what marriage once was is over. And some people say, you know, I think we've gotten away from thinking that marriage should be an institution like it is. Marriage is something that is solid. It's something that's solemn. It's something that's sacred. Thing that even for different religions and different cultures, it has different values. And so we've lost a lot of that. So if I go back to love, a working definition I use, whether I'm, you know, speaking, you know, in a temple or in a mosque or in a church or whatever, somebody would say, what is love? The working definition I always get for love, I even wrote this in a book I wrote called 10 Days of Motivation. And, like, I was trying to get people to see that love is an action so powerful that it brings about description, and it is also a description so powerful that it brings about manifestation. So if we were to break that down, because that's a lot within itself, if I were to tell you love is an action so powerful that it brings about description, and it's a description so powerful it brings about manifestation, what I'm saying is love is an action first. People will throw around the word love for everything. You know, I love Pepsi. I love Coca-Cola. I love sex. I love my children. I love my wife. But what you're talking about is love in different actions. You're talking about different actions, because the love, the actions I have towards my wife, that might be, you know, the love, the actions I show towards my children or towards, you know, my friend or towards my father, right? Everybody has different actions. So when we talk about love, love is very complicated and it's all encompassing. And also love can be negative. You know, some people love cigarettes. You know, some people love cheating. Some people love a lot, you know, a lot of things that can be detrimental. And so COVID has actually exposed the fact that we don't really know how to love or how to get that action. And it's the action that brings about the description. I don't want to get too religious, you know, religion heavy on this, but even when people try to pull up what Christ says, I think it's in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, they talk about love. But Christ even made it pretty simple. He said, like, all the stuff that we argue about now, he said, look, he said, by this, you know, which is love, by love, by the actions you show, will men know that you are my disciples. And he said, by the way you love and you act towards one another. But then he didn't just stop there. He was like, oh, and let me just remind y'all, it's not your actions, but it's the way that I have acted towards you. So even your love has to be an example. If I'm a father of a family and my actions are all over the place, I can't get mad at my wife if her actions are all over the place, because she's a reflection of me. You know, as much as we always talk about the woman sets the tone, and I'm not saying she doesn't set the tone in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, our love, our actions communicate to our wives what they should be doing and how they're going to interact with us. Our children will watch that the same way. I noticed that, you know, if I play around rough with my boys, they play around rough with me. You know, if I play around, you know, if I'm very relaxed and nice and gentle with my daughters, they're very nice and relaxed and gentle with me. The action comes from what we're doing. So that's love. But then you've got a description so powerful. So love describes you. So my actions towards my wife describes what it is to be a husband. My actions towards my children describes what it is to be a father. My actions towards you describes what it is to be a brother, and vice versa, you know. And then you've got a description so powerful it brings about manifestation. Now that people see our actions in marriage, they will begin to say, oh, okay, now my actions are things that describe what this is. Now I get it. Now I know what I'm supposed to do. Now I know how I'm supposed to respect you. Why? Because you respect and honor me. Now I know because I see you out there working hard and working diligently, you know, I see that I need to work hard and diligently as well. These are things that we can do for each other. And then after that, now you've got marriage. Now marriage is a funny one nowadays, because marriage, we think that marriage and sex are two different things. But once again, when you go back into etymology and you start looking into how the other tribes and other people view these things, you'll find that, you know, when it comes to marriage, marriage and sex are the same thing. They didn't have a difference. You didn't get married and then you could have sex, or you weren't having sex before you got married. You weren't officially married till you had sex. So we do it different. We do this thing of, let me go get my marriage certificate, or let me get engaged first, and then do this and do that, and then, you know, when we walk down the aisle, we're married, doesn't matter what we've been doing. But in ancient times, and I'm not just talking about in the Quran or in the Bible, or, you know, with Confucius times or whatever, I'm talking about all over the world, it was known that if you were married, then you had to, if you were engaged, that's great. That meant you were preparing for marriage. But once you had sex, once you consummated the relationship, then that was when you two became one. So now it's exposed some things, because now people think that basically getting a certificate or being around each other, whatever, is marriage. Marriage is actually sex, if you go to ancient times, which means that their idea of marriage was not to just something that you can get a prenup for or do anything like that. Marriage was, once I make this bond with you, we have decided that we shall become one and we will never be apart again. And even still today, which people don't think about or recognize, if you were to go to the courthouse today, let's say you got married and you and your spouse were not able to have, didn't have sex for whatever reasons, you could actually, let's say it went 6 months, a year, something crazy, the judge could, you could go in front of the judge and say, hey, you know, I haven't had sex with my spouse in 6 months. The judge could ask your spouse, if your spouse verified it, or if they were able to verify it, then the judge can just simply say that the marriage is no longer any good. Why? Because even now today, if you don't consummate it, if you don't have sex, the marriage is not legal. So we look at love, which is your actions, and we look at marriage, which is actually the act of having sex. We look at it completely different now, and I think COVID has begun to expose the lack of character, you know, that our marriages, no longer have.
Well, we see that on a constant basis, that, you know, way that love has transformed over the centuries. It used to be, even in, I'm not, like you said, we're not talking just religiously, but standardly, or by classes. If you want to look at it from a class standpoint, we can look at it and say, okay, well, in the early 40s and 50s, let's go even further back. When we're talking about the colonization of America, we know the Dutch came into America and they colonized in America as well. What the Native Americans, we call them the Pilgrims, or the terminology of them, but the lifestyle was supposed to be a sub, quote unquote, Christian values lifestyle. And in that lifestyle, the father would or could make arrangement for the daughter to marry a certain person. And it wasn't involving love. It was a business exchange relationship. And the father, most times at that time, the language was, you'll grow to love him. You might not love him now, but you'll grow to love him. And then over the years, it morphed to something else, into a new form. Now, we go back to where World War One, World War II, the language started, okay, now that I'm used to being married to this person, I'm going to stand by him no matter what, okay? That was the average marriage language at that time. But then we move a little further into the 60s, 70s era, women's rights coming in, women expressing, I do not love you, I never loved you, I appreciate you, what you've done for me, bye, I'm going to find someone I love. And it's become that morphization. Then we move into the 80s where it was abandonment love started. Where it started in the late 70s and it was abandonment. You the language changed to you're only good for one thing. And because of the government involvement into where the government says, I will take care of your child and we'll give you such and such amount of money and A, B, and C. So the father aspect started dropping off, and instead of being a couple, it was one self-love. Okay? Now we grow into the 90s where we start to maybe somehow on some plane, on a growing plane, we start to wake up a little bit and realize, you know what, the devastation, the travesty that we have at this future or at this point, we need to fix it. So women start trying to couple more with men, but see also the liberation of sexuality revolution is already begun. And that actually started even earlier, I believe, in the 40s, around the time of the infamous California killer. What was that name? The Dahlia murders. There was a doctor that was trying to transcend understanding sexual relations, the chemistry of love. And during his studies, he would do sexual experiments with couples and have them experiment in front of him as he watched or analyzed their reactions to certain scenarios and situations of so-called love. And he would document each stage of love or preparement from the woman's standpoint and the man's standpoint. Now, let's go back to where we left off in the 90s. We go into the 90s. It was a little bit more complicated, a little bit more in-depth when love. Now, we start in this new language of centering oneself. The mind is being centered. The body's being centered. The language is being centered. And now we run into the 2000s. We are more a spiritual love kind of people than we were. They say love in many languages. They say l'amore, al-dika is Arabic, you know, wumumbu, you know. You say, in, you know, some language, Chinese is, I think it's Sun Lu, but it's like no matter what the language is for love, it all has a definition verification that shows what love stands from in different aspects. When you go to countries like Kenya, love, it can be set up in a matter of seconds without the other person knowing. You can go to China, same thing, you know, and to show your love, if you look at ancient Chinese times, women would curl up their feet to like a point so they could fit small little shoes because they feel small feet is sexy and will attract a good husband. Some countries' strength shows that you are good for you're a good symbol as a husband. Some people look at finance, which brings us back to where I started about classism. You know, in the upper class, in the upper class world, the more money you are, the better husband you will be, and that is their love language. And to go into it a little bit more, there is love language. There's a book out called five steps of love language. I'm just starting to get into it a little bit more. One love language is gifts. Like, if you find your wife or your significant other always giving you gifts you don't even ask for, that is her love language. That's how she expresses that she loves you, how she cares about you, and how she feels about you. The bigger the gift, or the more valuable the gift, the more love the language is there.
And that's a great. Is it all right if I jump in real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, brother. That's what we do. You know.
That's a great. By the way, that's a great book. I've used that book with my marriage. We got videos of it. That's by Dr. Gary Chapman down in North Carolina. And he has a lot of, you know, when he first wrote the book, I think he already had about 2 or 3 decades, you know, in the field of counseling each other, or counseling others. But that's a great book, and that's a great mentality, because one of the things I was waiting to come in when I came back in to say was one of the things I think we don't even realize is, like, what, first of all, you got to even know who you are when we talk about love or that action. You know, like, what is it that you bring to the table by yourself? And what do you even love about yourself, so to speak? And when I talk to a lot of people, a lot of couples, they don't really know who they are. You know, so one of the things that, like, helped me to really be stronger in loving others is that I had to first realize, personally, I love, you know, my love language, I actually have two. You know, normally when you got it, the five that he has, I can't remember all five, but like you said, one is gifts, one is words of affirmation, one is, you know, acts of service. You know, and different things like that. So for me, one of the ways that I, one of my love languages my primary one, usually all of us have a combination of two at least, and my primary one is words of affirmation. So when somebody speaks something to me, it means a lot more, but also if somebody speaks something against me, it means a lot more too. So that's something I have to know about myself because, for example, you know, this happens with a lot of men in arguments. You get in an argument, and maybe your wife, because wives are wired differently and they speak differently in general, not just with love languages, but even books like by Dr. John Gray talking about men are from Mars, women are from Venus. You know, when you read things like that, you'll see that we just have different languages in general, being men and women. So a woman might be in an argument. She might say something to you along the lines of, "You never do anything right." Now, the man or somebody like me who has words of affirmation, I take every word at their meaning. So when you tell me never,
yeah,
you lose me, right? So I'm already
right.
But because I know that about myself, if my wife says you never do X, Y, Z, I had to learn, oh, for her, that's not her love language. So when she's speaking, I had to actually learn how to speak in her language. She doesn't mean never for her, and never for many women in that situation. Not all, you know, but many women in that situation, never means, oh, okay, right now I feel like you haven't done it consistently, or I haven't seen you do it since we were first together, or it would really mean a lot to me. Like, right now I feel like I'm by myself and it feels like nothing's getting done at all. So I'm using words like this to try and convey to you how serious it is to me, even though I know that you've done these things before. So when I hear those words, like, those are things that, you know, get me going. But also, too, once I learned that, I had to learn not to do that automatically, because I'm looking for every word to mean exactly what you say. Now, on the flip side, my wife, you know, that's not one of her primary sources, one of her two. So on the flip side, so that we can have decent conversation, sure, I need to learn her language and I need to be able to adapt. But also, too, just as much, she needs to be able to adapt to mine as well. So every once in a while, fine. Hey, we have an argument. You're saying I never took the trash out, or I never did this, I never did that. That's fine. Like, you know, say that and I'll bite the bullet. And even though it's kind of hurting me, like, I also understand that's not the language what you mean. So I'll translate it later so I can make sure that I'm not in my feelings. At the same time, though, every once in a while, since you know what my love language is and I found out what it is inside, now I can get to a place to where we can have a discussion and say, hey, look, every time when you say that to me, when you say never, like, it actually means never. So I would appreciate it if next time we have an argument like this, can you please not say never? And so when she doesn't say never the next time, even though she might feel the same way she was when she uses the words that, you know, are acting, that, you know, I'm looking for in a dictionary type sense, and she does that for me or whatever, it actually helps me to listen to her even harder, because now I'm like, oh, she's showing me that action, that love. She was willing to change her language. She was willing to learn how to speak a second language. And so you got to do vice versa. And sometimes, you know, I have to – so I think that's important to combine what you are personally in your love language and what your actions are and how you work within yourself. Before you get with somebody else, can you love yourself? Can you be okay with yourself? Can you be okay with the shortcomings that you bring in your love language? Can you also be okay with the great things that come from your love language? And once you do that, then now you're better to be able to be with somebody else. Like, you know, I liken it to when we're talking about, Black Lives Movement and stuff. And when you have people talking, I'll say, you know, as a Black community, before we start talking about everything the white community should do, and that's true. Hey, look, they've done this, they've done that, they've done this, they've admitted to this, they haven't admitted to that, whatever, yada, yada, let's get our reparations, all that stuff you want to talk about, that's great. But before we even talk about the outward reparation, you know, what about the inward reparation? How do you feel about yourself before you even talk to somebody else of any other race or any other mentality, any other class? How do you feel? And if you guys as a people don't feel good within your own community, even if they were to give you the money right now, you're not in a space to where you would be able to do what was necessary. So it's the same thing with a one-on-one relationship. We have to start learning how to love ourselves and who we are. And then once we learn who we are, then taking care of others and producing love to others becomes that much more easy. It's not simple, but it becomes easier, you know?
Yeah, I feel like what it is not just what the love language is. Now, we can also go into – I'm going to go into two other authors. We remember back in the early to late 90s, the book came out. It was a Storm bestseller, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And in the book, it describes the words, the languages, the differences – of an interpretation of love from a man's perspective and a woman's perspective. But over the years, there's still men are from Mars, women are from Venus in today, but the language has been transformed. The way of what love interpretation is. Being a person that has been through love a lot, you know, I would tell you that, you know, it's very commonly known as a metamorphosis of feelings, you know. So like I tell everybody, listen, one of the things about when we talk about love, when we talk about family, we talk about the feelings, we talked about the emotions, the energy, the terms of investment and time into a relationship and trying to communicate and break the barriers of language, we have to look at these things. It's a constant thing. It is battle, especially with COVID going on, especially with the way the world is going on and where there's rumors of wars on top of wars, rumors of more wars on top of wars, and that thing. We look at how the woman had to adapt during World War II through Desert Storm while she stayed home with the children. In World War II, that woman became what they used to call the Rosies. And the Rosies used to go out there and build tanks and cars and automobiles, learn to weld and working in the warehouses to feed for the family while the father was out fighting the war. And the same thing during barbarian times, history times, it was love language then, but today's love language is being changed. There has been a switch in roles on some points, and then there has been a switch in roles on some other points. If we look at these adjustments and these changes, and you look at these times and adjustments and how we have adjusted, we have to listen to how we communicate with each other. It's like if you had a woman's, if you had a woman in front of you, it's like you almost want to reach for a hand dictionary, a translation dictionary. So when she, you look at her a little strange, she's like, why are you looking at me like that? Well, guess what? Because you just said something to me. I know what you said, but in my mind, do you mean directly what you said? Or am I miscommunicating or misunderstanding what the heck is going on? And you can't, in some points, you really can't say, what the hell is going on? it's like that. You wanna express your feelings to this person. You wanna, you know, if you wanna get to know how to be a good boyfriend or a good fiance or a good husband, you have to fight through a barrier, a red tape, to get to the source. Some men just want a partner. Some men might want just a friend, somebody that they can live with and be friends with on a level. Some men want a wife. Some men just want a baby mama or someone to give birth to the children. And this is how they feel love. This is what they interpret love is. And then some men, they just like to have a woman around that they can just say, that's my woman. That's my woman. That's it. And this is the result over changing of the guard over the years on the interpretation of love. Okay, it is 1:34 p.m. Okay, on a Thursday. We are in the hot seat right now. This is Brother Alfred and Brother Kofi's in the house. So with that being said, we would love for you to understand what's going on. And definitely, going to stay tuned for a little commercial. All right?
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
All right. So we just wanted to basically get into that. Also want to give out a shout out to our potential supporters and sponsors at Mojon, Moji's Jewelers out of Chicago. They specialize in fine jewelry, fine everything. I mean they do some diamonds. Kobe, man, you got to see this thing. This is beautiful. I mean, you want to get you, if you gave this to your wife right now, she'd kiss you, turn around and kiss you every damn, she wouldn't even let you walk out the door no more. So, bruh, I'll give you the link, and trust me, this is a black-owned business, right, for y'all to let you know. We are supporting the community, and they are the hardest thing ever. I've seen some black jewelers in my time, but this brother here, he got the setup all the way. If you do not have money, all the money right up front, he does offer financing. He does offer fund. It's Mojet Jewelers out of Chicago. All right? They are the best nationwide black-owned jewelry. I mean, high-quality diamonds, No, they don't do cubic zirconian or none of that stuff. They do the high quality diamonds. They do get diamonds from Africa as well, and they ship it straight up to you and make it custom. They do custom diamond, custom chains, everything you need to be done. You send them the design. You tell them what you want. You even get your own personal jeweler that will be assigned to you to call you or check up on you, to help you schedule payments if you need to make payments, or if you got the cash, he got the jewels. And he will make sure he give it straight to you or send it as a gift, put the card in it, the whole night. He will set it up beautiful. So think about it. Mojo Jewelers out of Chicago. All right? So listen, we're going to get back into this a little bit more. Now, what I was previously talking, what we're talking about is love. Love is something that has been morphed into modern times than to a point that some people can't even recognize what love is. Or if you never experienced love as a child, now we want to talk about children, if you don't have real love given from birth all the way into your adulthood, then your interpretation of love has been changed from what it should be to something different. And then you hit certain rocks when you try to find love or involve yourself in love. So your perspective of what love is a totally dynamic. Now, we want to go, if we went to on a mental metaphysics level of thought, they say what you are what you eat. Well, guess what? In today's society, we're learning love from TV. So if you see drama and then after they fight, they start making up and kissing and moaning and groaning and bed bumping and fucking, whatever the case may be, your mind is recording that and thinking, oh, that's what love is. But if you look at love from a perspective of a wholesome level, like when we go way back to Uncle Ben or Ben and the Bear, you know, or what he thought was love, living in a cabin, or Little House on Prairie, or Family Ties, or Cosby's, the Parenthood, you know, their perspective of love. We're being programmed to interpret a lifestyle of what a family dynamic and what a love in that family should be. And because we have that program into us, we actually are hurting ourselves. We are not helping ourselves. So we need to try to change that dynamic and give ourselves the proper tools, okay? And we have to be able to communicate. Now, one of the other people I did want to talk about was Steve Harvey. Now, Steve Harvey, yes, he's had his own problem when it comes to love. But he also learned from his mistakes and allowed the conversation to grow, you know? And we need to be able to project a positive love language. And Steve Harvey has had women come online he had them on stage. We have men on one side, women on the other, talking about relationships on a consistent basis. So we are not communicating the love language that we need to be, because the divorce rate is high. People are not making the proper choices. You're letting your past dictate your future. You're trying to find resources on a consistent basis so that you can able to relate to the person that you do want to be the proper words that you want them to know. So I know for a fact, from a personal perspective, a language thing is something new on the horizon. And we all need to learn how to find that love language for every relationship we are. It's going to be different in everything. So, you know, if let's say you start one relationship. You took your break. You took time for yourself. You learned to love yourself. You grew yourself up a little bit. You recovered from the last relationship. So now you want to get back out there. So here's where you at right now. You're ready to get back out there. But the way women are communicating or the words you're seeing, it's like you're reading Chinese or Arabic. You have no idea what the hell they're talking about. okay? They talk about, well, I want good vibes. I want to start out with just a friend. And then maybe something more. And it works. It gets complicated to understand what they mean by that. Because on one level, there is a language that's out there where we are talking and communicating on a normal level, and it's a basic understanding. That's the start of a base, not a foundation. There's a difference. A base is the undercoating of the starting. It's like when you pour the cement, before you pour the cement to make the foundation, you take the planks of wood and you put it around the border of the shape that you're trying to build the foundation in before you pour in. And then you pour the foundation in, which is the cement, to harden, to make that foundation. So you have the border or the base, and then you have the foundation, which is being poured in later on. The base consists of, hello, how are your days going? What's going on with you? How are you feeling today? What do you like to do for fun? What is your interest? Those are base languages. Now, the foundation is when you get into the depth where you expose your history, what you've been through, what love has been like for you, what your goals is in a relationship, what your goals in your future. Do you want to have children? If you're Muslim and you want to go halal, then you would say, okay, my goal is to provide a house, to provide a proper way of communication, transmission, to have family, to have children, to marry, to love, you know, and to keep a job and do et cetera, et cetera. You're Christian or Catholic, it's the same thing basis. It's the same basis now, but there's a lot more leeway on how you conduct that. If you want to go from the street point of view, a lot of people are like, I want to taste the milk before I buy the cow. So they feel they'd be intimate first. Then if the intimacy is strong and everything else looks good, then let's proceed to marriage. A lot of people, I tell them, please, before you get into a relationship with a woman, you should sit down, have a deep conversation with that person. And yes, you might be a private person where you do not like everybody to know your business. But this person has started a base with you. And she wants to, or she might be interested into pouring that foundation, which can develop into a happy situation or home base resource. And if we can't keep the resource growing, it's like when you start off with a cabin in the woods, which is small, and then build it up to a mansion. But you have to start with the foundation, which is develop and cultivate the cabin, and then build onto that so you can build it into and grow it into a mansion. Now, I'm giving you different analogies and symbols so that you can understand the point I'm coming at you with. And we have to look at these things. And we have to keep moving and grooving and pushing forward with every relationship that we have. Okay? And how are we going to do that if we don't understand the other person's love language? So, men, and women, when you get into any relationship and you find yourself a little bit rocky on certain things, sit your partner down and ask her straight up, what is your love language? Don't let her say, I'm going to think about it. She knows what the answer is, but some part of her is always going to say, I don't want to offend him. I do not want to give him the wrong impression about me. I'm this kind of way. So you tell her straight up. You say, you're not going to offend me. I want us to sit down here. I want us to explore this question. And we're not going to move until we both have the answer. And if the love language changes, okay, then you will know her level of emotional feel for you. If she's a person that gives you expensive gifts, or she does this and that for you, always say appreciate. Say, I appreciate you. Don't just say it once. Say it every day you see your partner. Do not express yourself any other way but showing appreciation for what she does for you. And ladies, you show appreciation. You know you love what he does for you as well. So we have to communicate on that love language. Now, I'm learning about this myself. I'm not saying I'm an expert or any damn thing. Because, listen, I'll put it out there. I've been married twice, and I'm trying to do it again. But it does not mean that I don't know nothing. I'm 43 as of Monday, and I have grown to learn my mistakes. So my job is to educate you, the people, and allow you to know from my mistakes not to make the same mistakes I made. Give yourself some time. Go ahead, brother.
No, and I was going to say, too, just real quick, also, too, on the flip side, you know, one of the things, like when I do marriage counseling with my wife and I, even when we first got together, we had written out, you know, like a marriage constitution, so to speak. And everybody I work with, like I do some, you know, we do some counseling, we listen to both sides, we see what everybody says they want, we see your hopes, your dreams, your visions, et cetera. And then we say, okay, at the end of this, what is it that, you know, what do you want to get out of this? What is your ultimate goal? Okay, what is your vision? What's her vision? How can the two become married together? Those things are great. And then in the midst of the writing it out, one of the biggest things we put with everybody are even rules of engagement when it comes to arguments. So you have to understand certain things even when to argue, you know, like ladies, of course, like sometimes you have men and men vice versa when it comes to their ladies, this happens too. You might have somebody who's always argumentative or somebody that doesn't want to deal with things. Yes, of course, you got to make sure that you're willing to do that. But sometimes too, something as simple as, hey, babe, I really need to discuss something with you. I know you're probably not going to like what you're going to hear, but it's important for me that you hear it. Is now a good time to talk? Now, when that is presented to you, you as the person that's being having it presented to you, make sure that you take time out to say, you know, yeah, it is, or no, it's not. Now, if you say no, it's not, it doesn't mean that you never come back to it. It means you need to give an answer right then and there. Okay, I'm not really feeling up to it. I'm not in a good mood right now. I might snap on you. However, you know, maybe later this evening, or maybe give me a couple of days. Like, it's going to be real rough for me a couple of days if it's something you know that I'm going to snap on. Is it all right if you give me a couple of days? Even schedule some time, because not every time is a good time. I know we wish it was a utopian thing where, you know, we had no feelings involved, everybody was robotic, and we could just say, okay, I want to talk now, boom, talk right now. But, you know, she could be, you know, what if your wife needs, you need to talk to your wife about something, but she's pregnant and her hormones are all over the place? So what if she's going through her period and she's not even in a place where she can hear you on the same level as she normally does? You know, what if she's in a position, you know, what if you're dealing with somebody who's dealing with mental health issues? You know, so you're coming to them.
You just did it. You did it, brother.
So, you know,
you hit the nail on the top, right? Woo! Yeah, well, yeah, we're going to get into that part right now. Go ahead, finish.
No, no, no. I was just saying, these are things that I've experienced, and these are things that I've dealt with people too as well when talking to people and realizing, like, you know, before we get, you know, for me, you know, in my, you know, religious beliefs and stuff, but, you know, everybody can be different on this, but for me, before you get married or have sex or whatever you're going to call your marriage, like, you need to be in a position where these things are already met, because we're talking about somebody that's going to be around you. They've decided that. I think there's something we forget, that this person, when they say they want to be with you for the rest of their lives, they have made a decision to what? To be with you for the rest of their lives, meaning that nobody, they can't go to another man unless, you know, unless they cheat or something. But I'm just going to keep it. What they've decided in their mind, if they're going to marry you, is I will not go to another man, meaning that every time I need something, I won't go to another man. So guess what that means? That means I got to be able to come to you. You know, when I would go to my friends and discuss certain things, I can't, because that'd be disrespectful to you. So guess what? I need you to listen. You know, if your spouse is sitting there saying, you know, certain things that they would have issues with as a man, and I might need to be able to do certain things, well, you know what? If you don't want me to be a mama's boy, guess what? Like, there's certain things. The reason why we're mama's boys is there's certain love that our mamas give, and all of a sudden we get into marriage with you, and you start not giving us stuff that we got from a mom. Well, guess what? We don't need to be mothered our whole lives, but there's nothing wrong with me having the love of a mother. So every once in a while, I might need to break down and cry on your shoulders, and I might need you to rub me on my head and tell me it's going to be okay, because guess what? I need to sometimes revert to that little boy before I can go back, because I can't be Superman 24/7. Even Clark Kent had to exist in order for Superman to exist. So it's like, if you need the Superman in me to exist, you know, I need you to respect me when I'm Clark Kent. I need you to even respect me to when I hit kryptonite, because I didn't go to find kryptonite on purpose. But every once in a while, an enemy or somebody who doesn't even know might place some in my hand. And when they do, guess what? I lose my power for a second. And all of us lose power. All of us lose a little bit of who we are. All of us lose you know, what we're trying to accomplish every once in a while. But I need that too. So you got to realize that when you're getting in situations, you know, think about how to nurture that person, and even nurture them in the argument. Like, you know, once again, let them know, hey, I have an issue with something, rather than what normally happens is this. You ain't take the trash out in 2 days in a row. She took it out first day. She ain't say anything, which is great, great. Second day, she's like, okay, I don't want this to become a habit. So she just kind of like, you know what? You get home, you've been at work, you've been dealing with people out there. Maybe you dealt with racism. Maybe you dealt with classism. Maybe you didn't get paid like you thought you were. You know, maybe you were late already, and so you got chewed out or something, and then you did a great day's work, but you still didn't get the credit you thought you deserved. You're like, all right, I'm coming home to escape all that, and first thing waiting for you is, you know, you ain't take the trash out 2 days in a row. You better not let it happen again the third day. Well, we're already ready for you to scrap. Rather than, okay, hey, babe, I got something to talk to you about. It's not even that big a deal, right? So you've already put them in a mindset it's not that big a deal. So you say, hey, babe, I got something to talk to you about. It's not even that big a deal. Would you mind, you know, if you took a couple minutes, if I took a couple minutes to talk to you, I promise you it's not really not a big deal. It's just a reminder. Oh, okay. No problem. You know, what's up? And he's already made up his mind, like, okay, it's not a big deal. She's just putting this in passing real quick. I'm going to take this, whatever this is, on the chin real quick, and I'm going to keep it moving because I'm trying to just chill right now. And then you go ahead. Yeah, you didn't take the trash out a couple of days. I just wanted you to know. Hope it's not a big deal. It's like, oh, that was it. Oh, okay. Why? Because you geared his mind already to, this isn't a big deal. I'm not upset with you. I'm not popping off with you. I even respected you as a person and as a man to let you know, like, this is what I would like to be able to, God would like to be able to talk to you or whatever. So, and you do that, and boom, like, you've had a totally different experience than if you guys started yelling. And I'm using something simple. I mean, trash maybe is not, but even though I have had some relationships where people argue about some of the small things too, but usually when you're arguing about small things, you're usually arguing about something that's much bigger. And sometimes, especially for a man, sometimes there's in that book you were talking about, Men from Mars, Women from Venus, there's a thing called a cave. And sometimes, you know, a man needs to have a cave. That's why even men have places in their houses called man caves, you know, where they go in, and the whole goal of it is, I'm not trying to be intellectual in here. You know, I'm not trying to solve the world's problems. I'm coming in here because I just want to get away from everything. You know, you'll even have a man wake up in the morning and he'll go in the bathroom. But, you know, well, back in the day, you go in the bathroom, take your newspaper. Now I guess you take your phone or whatever, but you see your father in the bathroom with a newspaper and for an hour. And he's not using the bathroom for an hour, but it's his way of getting away from the world as part of his procedure to get ready for everything. He can take a deep breath before he has to go out and deal with the world. And so, you know, give your spouse, you know, men and women, we need to make sure we give our spouses the freedom to be able to deal with things when it's necessary, but also have time away, even if it's just mental time away and mental space, or else you will have a lot of issues and a lot of arguments.
Right. Now, listen, let me get into the little part we just talked about. Now, all right, we're going to have the deadly talk. We all know about the deadly talk, which men cringed. Comics have written episode after episode about. We're going to talk about the Bloody Mary, the PMS, the tampon, and go into what we call the 7-day I'm getting out of town for week itch. Listen, you already touched on it. Men, when you start a relationship with a woman and you are building, you decide to make that transition into a foundation pouring situation where you're trying to build something, you need to have the talk with your spouse. I know you don't, I remember I used to see him on TV. Guys would say, I ain't going to no store buying no damn tampons. Listen, you women think things? Method Man would say, no, I don't know nothing but the women think things. I don't want no go think thing. You know what? Let me tell you something. You need to know about them think things. We men need to get off our damn asses and have that damn conversation. Because if your woman's sensitive during those periods, you're going to be on eggshells and glass the whole time. You need to find out how she, it's like a lab experiment. You need to go and you need to take 1 week to see how she handles that week when she goes through that. You take that, you do that one time. You do that one time. This is my advice to you. And this is my experience, what I've learned. You need to have that conversation. Because if you do not, I guarantee you, if you do not know when she's having those issues, what time of the month she has that at, when she's going through that, what kind of mood does she have? Is she sensitive? Some of it might be good because I've heard women, sometimes they get extra, excuse my language, horny during that time. Some women, they hate men. They go, you know, but it's what it is. So you need to have this conversation with every woman you go out with. We all must have that conversation. Learn about tampons. Learn how they work. Is she have a high flow of blood, low flow? Is she spotty? Know about that. Does she take Midol? Does she take PMS? What kind of things she does to help her mood swings during that time? You need to have that conversation. Married men, if you are married already, you need to have that conversation. If you do not, I guarantee you, you will have hell on earth.
Well, and something else,
you will.
Something else too, real quick. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, brother.
I don't know, and something else with that, you know, also, too, a lot of women have issues with PMS when it comes to actually not being healthy because we don't eat right as well. So understand that when your woman sometimes is going through things like you were talking about earlier, Brother Alfred, but you were speaking more to, you can have an argument because you're eating unhealthy, but also a lot of women bleed more than what they're supposed to. Also, too, if you do some research, you'll find out that pretty much all pads, you know, the majority, heavy majority, you know, 99% of the pads and tampons that are being used by women are actually things that hurt the body because there's a lot of plastic and a lot of, even metals and different things, believe it or not, that are put inside these things hurt their body. So a lot of them bleed more than they're supposed to, and they actually have low progesterone. A lot of people don't know that we think about estrogen only when it comes to women. But when it comes to a woman's period, what you need to worry about is progesterone. So for men, we need testosterone, and testosterone actually makes us more calm, not aggressive. If a man has too much estrogen, he actually becomes more aggressive. A woman needs estrogen to be balanced, but if she has too much testosterone, she becomes aggressive. But if you get into a the blood flow, they need progesterone. And so there's actually pads out there and tampons out there and different things that will actually allow them to, you know, have more cotton, which means that they can breathe down there certain things, but a lot, and also eat certain things that help them not to bleed as much. But a lot of women, even when you see a lot of women that deal with acne on their face, and we're trying to figure out, people be like, it's just like high school again, it's embarrassing, they try Clearasil, it doesn't work. Well, it's because it actually has to do a lot with the same things that are causing you to bleed too much. You know, like a woman should probably have no more than maybe 1 to 2 teaspoons of blood her entire period, but a lot of women don't. They even suffer from things called endometriosis, which means that you got more than one egg passing at the same time, and that's because your system is out of whack, you're not healthy. So even by learning more things about that, you might be able to squash a lot of stuff as far as arguments, or even as far as a woman, you know, feeling down on herself or going through certain things with that time of the month. And just for both of you, you know, I find it that my wife finds it comforting if, you know, I know her schedule, you know, as far as when her period is. So I already know,
yeah,
you know, before she even gets there, I start preparing. I made sure that certain things are there in the house. I made sure that my mentality has changed, you know, even – when she starts kind of going off or whatever, you know, that's a way to make sure that you can give a pass and be like, oh, yeah, okay, I know what's coming up. And so when it happens, when she has a period a couple of days later, like, I don't even do a whole thing. I knew you were having your period, blah, blah. I just know in my mind, oh, okay, like, this is about the time. She has it. You know, we're having arguments and stuff. It seems like we're arguing about things that aren't even necessary to argue about. Or it seems like she's, even if she's not arguing, it seems like she's very irritable or irritated. And, you know, that's what it is. Even when you have a woman that's pregnant, by the way, you know, she's having one consistent, you know,
let's talk about
period.
Postpartum.
You know, so when,
yeah.
Yeah. Or even postpartum depression, things like that, that happen to where, you know, she's depressed because she doesn't have the life inside her anymore. She got used to being able to bond with the baby on that level, and she has to, relearn how to bond with the baby in a different type of level and get used to not having that. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes with that. And once again, that comes to, once again, can you learn how to, going back to what we were talking about earlier, can you learn how to love yourself? Can you learn how to be in a situation where you as a man, you love yourself, but also you love yourself enough to know, like, how to use your best abilities within yourself to deal with some things that are going on with somebody else? You know, so, you know, have I learned to know what my shortcomings are so that when my wife's going through that, look, I'm not a woman, so I don't know what it is to be pregnant. I don't know what it is to have a period. I don't know what it is to have those mood swings that sometimes they even feel embarrassed about because they can't really control it. At the end of the day, though, I can say that even though I might not know what it is personally, I can go outside of myself now that I know what I don't know, or I know what I can't feel. I can at least, that's when empathy kicks in and says, all right, let me study her body, let me study her cycle, let me study illnesses that are unique maybe to her, let me study her blood type even, because there might be things that happen with her blood type while she's here, let me study her eating habits. Even stuff like, my wife will come to me and she'll say, oh, I'm going to start a diet, and when she starts a diet, I know what that means. That means she wants to know, am I going to be on the diet too, right? So I might not feel like I want to necessarily go on a diet, but empathy kicks in, like, okay, she's coming to me telling me this because she's saying, hey, I want to do something different, and I would like to have somebody to walk that journey with me. And so once again, since she made the great decision, you know, I feel it's a great decision because it works well for me, but also it better be great for her because I'm willing to work for her. If she's coming to me and saying, hey, as somebody who I want to become one with, I'm about to go down this journey, can you help me with this? Can you go through this with me? Even though it's something you might not want to do, is what she's really coming to me and saying. That's her language. And so I have to learn how to translate that and say, oh, okay, yeah, no problem. The problem to her means, oh, okay, yeah, I'm willing to support you. I'm willing to walk this walk with you. I'm willing to help you out. Even though I believe you're already beautiful the way that you are, if there's anything that you want to do, we'll make sure that we work it out together.
Well, you know what? We also want to get into understanding. Okay, we want to go a little deep. All right. Now, this is for our young brothers, young men out there that are about to be fathers, and about to hit the roller coaster. When a woman, see, this is something I was not taught as a child growing up. When women have babies, they go through a mental cycle of constant emotions, like ESP on steroids. And they go through different kinds of emotions. Each woman's different. It's not in, on a schedule. It's not a schedule. It's just going to keep going. Some women, it's a week. Some women, it's a month. Some women, it's 6 months. They go through these emotions up, down, and you don't have no clue what the hell is going on. Okay? So when you have that baby, you need to put on that armor, that metaphysical armor, okay, that psychological armor, and be ready, even if it's not your fault, of the situation. You submit yourself, because your mind should be strengthening itself. Because remember, the purpose of a woman is to strengthen the man. Because if the man can take what the woman gives that he loves, and then she beats him mentally and then builds him up, then he is able to have the strength to take on a world which is worse than what she can give you. Okay? That strength is comes from you, because remember, if you want to go scripturally, the woman is the job of a woman is to help the man meet his obligation, which is given to him by God and to by the world. Now, we go from educational and scientific, the chemistry imbalance where we act conclusively by the reaction of both parents. And remember, that toxic situation, even though she's going through that emotion during that time, we need to be abrupt and aware that she's preparing herself to strengthen her body back. Because, this is the best way a man can actually feel what a woman is going through when she has that baby. Now, I don't know, there's a lot of guys that might have had gallstones, and we had to, you know, get the gallstones out. Well, if you ever went through that kind of situation, I'm going to tell you right now, that is definitely what it's like. So, yeah, but in all seriousness, the fact of the matter is, yeah, it's like that. Or if you never had gallstones, you know them days when you couldn't take a poop on the toilet for 3, 4, or 5 days, and then suddenly you sit in there, this big giant thing coming out your ass. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like to have a baby. That's what it's like to have that baby. It's like when you have this big giant poop that I swear to God looked like it should have its own zip code coming out your ass, and it's that big log that breaks the toilet like in House Party, and you sit in there and you trying to get it out. Now you got your legs up in the air, sitting there trying to That's what it's like to have that damn baby. Next thing you know, you're doing Lamar's classes. So the best way I can give you a description of what that is like, it's like that. If you can't, even though you need to do that, but then there's some emotional side of it. You understand? It's an emotional side of it that comes along with it. You just gave birth to a baby. Another human being just came out your orifices of your body. And now you sitting there trying to recruit your they say your vulva. In Africa, they say your vulva is healing, you know. And he ain't going through none of the pain that you just went through. Your emotions is going to go up, down. It's going to go crazy. It's going to go left. It's going to go right. It's going to go up. It's going to go sideways. It's going to go diagonally. It's going to go every way. Now, you got two subjects, two ways of handling this. And I advise everybody to take notes. One, you can either stay in the household until it's over, but you have never, it's never going to be over, because the ones that stay in the house, which is other option, is going to seek and get more benefits out of it, because her emotions are so messed up, she wants you to support her during that delicate time and be there. That's why I said previously, you need to put that manifestation armor on and take what she gives you while you're in that household. Then there's some guys, they just feel like, you know what, I'm going to wait for a week or so. Here's my number. I got a business trip. You're making all these plans and arrangements not to be there while she goes through this emotional time. Whether it's PMS or the Bloody Mary Day, or post-depression after having a baby, okay? We have to understand these things and just keep these things going on and everything, and just try our best to make things work for the best for us, and take that strength that she put in you and use it to show her you appreciate her giving birth, for her being there for you emotionally. Show her that love is there. Uplift her, respect her, show her that you care about her. I saw a thing on TikTok, it's called the Love Challenge. So they're asking every guy, sneak up behind your woman and just give her a hug from behind and give her a kiss. And just give her a hug for 30 days and watch the reaction you did. I did the 30-day challenge. And because of that, even though I'm going through what I go through, my girl's still here. There's been some bullshit has happened. I am not going to lie. But because for 30 days, I took that challenge, and I sit there and I said to her, every time I saw you, I get up behind you, I hold you, I hug you close to my heart, and I say I love you and I care about you. But don't throw the love word around. Make sure you mean it from your heart, your spirit, your soul, anything. That aura is real love. Because a woman's sensitivity and her hormones is able to tune in to your brain waves and able to show you that what you say is to be true and unique or genuine actions or feelings. So never say the L word unless you really mean it from your heart. And give that to that woman. So, you know, with that being said, listen, everybody, we want to get this shape. Listen, tune in every week. Also, don't forget, we got the latest gear that's coming out, NFL Radio sneakers. We got NFL Radio coats, headgear. We got Tupperware. We got everything for you at home to take you on the road. Take a piece of the show with you. All right, so don't forget to go to nsfatherhood.org/NFF radio stations, okay? And when you do that, go on there. Get one of them sneakers, the newest, hottest kicks. I got me a pair right here. They're tight. I love them. Everybody's talking about them, all right? So I don't know what they're talking about on your coast, on your part of the world, but shoot, NSF Radio is always here. Also, stay tuned for more information about some of the other programs we're going to be dealing with out here. All right? Beyond that, we're just going to get into it a little bit more. We want everybody to tune in and you just keep everything going and just do something positive. So let's do a commercial right now.
Hey, y'all, come along like hey, y'all, to Yahshua. Hey, y'all, come along like hey, y'all, to Elohim. Hey, y'all, come along like hey, y'all, to Yahshua, my Savior, Elohim.
All right, Brother Koofy, what's going on Koofy Speaks this week?
We're going to be talking about things from a black perspective, and we're going to be speaking on different subjects. This week we actually have a special guest. That's all I'm going to say at this moment in time, but it's somebody that you don't want to miss. We're going to talk about many different things going on in the country, but this is somebody who's fighting against oppression of any kind. Just someone who's been on the front line for a long time, and looking forward to possibly having somebody else who will be able to come along with us as well. But we'll be on at 1:00 p.m. this Saturday. That's 1:00 New York time, Eastern time, or Standard Eastern time, and we look forward to having you join us. And be ready to ask some great questions. And have your questions ready, because I'm gonna just let these people coming on cook.
All right. We're getting it on. The on the Koofy Speaks. Remember, every Saturday, 1:00 to 2:00 Eastern Standard Clearing Time. All right, on NSF Radio. Koofy Speaks, the hot word right there. The educational, the ear, the shadow band one. The speaking for the speakers, or the spokers, or the those who cannot speak or want to speak. He is always trying to keep it real for you right there. All right, Koofy Speaks. All right. Now, listen, we want to get into the next part of the show where we're going into, listen, just to finalize everything up, get into the less depth of it all. If you have any questions when it comes to love, comes to situation, you know, we can refer you to proper education, books, proper inform you on certain levels of love and every other aspect that we can get. We always get information, always doing research, always looking at the aspect of love from many perspectives. You know, one thing we do see, love is changed. I'm a Muslim. As a Muslim, I seen the change of love. They used to be strict. You wouldn't even meet your wife until the day you get married. You go through the father, and the father goes, and you just say, I saw your daughter on the street, and I think she's beautiful, and I like to start the process to get to know her or marry her. And you get married, and then you learn about each other. Now, today, Muslims are, they hooking up, they going out on dates all the time, and then when if they feel comfortable, then he bring the father in and it's changed. The Christian way used to be even more different. It's different today. The Christian mentality used to be, well, I go out with Peggy Sue, and Peggy Sue would take me to meet her father, and I will go and meet the father and say, you know, sir, I really think your daughter's swell, and I would love for her to be my girlfriend. Can I get your permission to date your daughter? Today, those words are not even in the dictionary anymore, honestly. When it comes to relationship, that's not even in the dictionary anymore. You know, it becomes a constant strain. So you skip over the father. The only thing you do, because the father might be not in the picture, is you go to the family and say, I would like to marry your daughter. After you date it, maybe you tasted the milk or whatever the case may be, and now you say, I want to buy the cow. And this is the constant reflection of where we are in 2020. Now, we add covert to it, which makes it a little more difficult to do all that because you got social distancing. You have the increase of dating apps. I swear to God, if you went to Google Play right now, or on Apple, you will see so many different perspectives of dating apps. It is crazy. It's like you might as well call it dating land. Every time you turn around, there's a new app for dating. You're dating this way. If you're a pothead and you want to meet another pothead, you date this way. If you're African, you go on a dating site for Africans. If you're black, you go on dating. If you want to just date white people, you go on a dating site for white people. If you're a country or a city, you got a dating app for that. Every time you turn around, you've seen all this stuff going on. It is something. It's ridiculous. But before I always say to them, I'm going to close out. We got 7 minutes left on the show. We're going to go into it. But Koofy, you got any closing words for the people and advice?
I'm sorry. Say that again. Say that again for me. Sorry, I couldn't hear the last couple seconds for some reason.
I said, you got any closing words or advice for the people out there?
No, not really. Really, I mean, you know, like you said, this is something that we got to take time out to really understand and to learn about and to grow from. So if you're going to do it, just take it seriously. And, you know, don't give up just because it gets hard. A lot of things get hard doesn't mean that we shouldn't press forward.
Right. And remember, I always want to tell everybody what I always tell you, take your time. Don't rush it. Your emotions will try to rush it, especially if it's somebody that really touches your heart. Please. All right, I'm going to give one advice to you now. If you really love this person, don't introduce that person into the family dynamic until you truly know your family dynamic. If it's a custom of theirs to know the family up front before they get involved, explain to them it is your custom to wait until we have a strong foundation before you bring any other person around your personal family dynamic. Don't push it unless you know your family dynamic. Check it, look at it, call your cousin, call your mama, call your daddy, call your family. See how they are handling their lives and how they feel about you having been involved with somebody. Then, when that is secure, bring the other person into that fold, and that will be committed as a compliment to the other person that you feel secure enough to involve them in your family dynamic as well as maintain your relationship. Take steps to make sure your family dynamic is solid. Okay? Make sure that is key for you. Do not approach this thing lightly. All right? Beyond that, we always want to tell you, listen, keep it real, keep it always happy, keep it the best spirits you can do. When you do something, do it with a smile. Do it with a happy smile. And listen to what the people always need and want. Because your life can help somebody else's life. Your experiences can always help somebody else's experience. My name is Brother Alfred, and this is Brother Koofy. We are NSF Radio Show every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. on NSF Radio. Thank you, and God bless you all. And remember, I keep it real, you keep it real with me.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
The door.
I may fall, I may drop, but I'll always get back up. Thank you once again. Peace.